Forever! Dog!
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Wow. That had so much power and presence in it that our guest recoiled.
I don't think it had any more or less amplification wattage than in the past.
You want to talk about wattage?
Wattage? I do, honey. Ooh,
Megan Thee Stallion.
Speaking of wattage, Megan Thee Stallion.
I'm obsessed.
You only recently, I've been telling you for a while now, for a minute, like, you gotta get into Megan.
You know how I am
when
people
Meg.
Tell, you know how I am, you
yes.
know how I get, you know how I receive information when people tell me I have to do something.
But that's,
I'm very hesitant.
We're telling you this because we know you'd love it. And look, lo and behold.
And lo and behold, I'm actually really obsessed. And the reason I'm obsessed with Megan Thee Stallion is for two reasons. One, now we can say hot girl summer.
Yeah, everyone's saying
it. I like saying that. That's something I like to say.
Uh-huh.
And also, as I was consuming the media, and I do have some media that I want to play.
We've got media.
I have the song Hot Girl by Megan Thee Stallion, and I'm going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to discuss what we hear. Are we ready?
Can I rap along?
No.
Okay.
No, you have to let the artist.
Okay.
As Sudie Green often tells me when I'm singing along with the radio, she'll reach over, hold my forearm, and she'll say, let her. So why don't you let her?
Actually, wait, it's actually rule of culture number 77.
Let her.
Yeah.
Honestly, if there's a singer on the radio and she's doing her thing,
let her.
Okay, gays? Let her. All right, so this is just a little piece that I really enjoy.
A piece of media by Megan Thee Stallion.
Here we go.
By media artist.
Great.
Here we go. So to recap,
let's just go through what we have
the
here.
The words are, all the hot girls make it pop, 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 pop. Bad bitches with the bag say, ay, ay, ay. If you ain't talking about no money, tell them, ba, ba, ba. And if you see a man, ho, tell a ha, ha, ha.
Now, here's my thesis about this.
Yes.
I wrote this.
You did.
I think I wrote this.
Yes.
Because only me would rhyme bye, bye, bye with ha, ha, ha. And ha 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 would end the phrase. And also, this just sounds like me. I don't know.
If you see a mad hoe, say, ay, yeah. Oh, ha ha ha.
No, no. The text is, bad bitches with the bag say, ay, yeah, yeah.
If you ain't talk about no money, tell him, ba, ba, ba. And if you see a mad hoe, tell her, ha ha ha. You would write this and not a 24-year-old rapper from Houston who, you know.
I'm not taking anything away from her. This is not erasure. This is not what you're trying to make it.
This is additive. We're adding to Megan Thee Stallion's narrative by saying that she spits Matt Ronder's rhymes.
All I'm saying is I feel a kindred spirit with her.
Absolutely.
Later on
you,
in the
you
song,
two are very similar, actually.
Later on in the song, she says, bad attitude, but I'm cute, so he call me bae. I like that she says she has a bad attitude.
I think you still need to. Oh, I showed you the
Big Ol' Freak.
I showed you the Big Ol' Freak music video. What did you think?
Amazing. I think she's incredible and a star. I think she has Cardi B powers.
I think she's
potential.
I think she's a different breed.
Well,
than
yeah,
Cardi,
I'm not saying they're the same,
but I'm saying you haven't listened to Cash It yet. Oh my God, Cash It's
no,
so good.
No, because what I do is whenever I get obsessed with someone, I listen to one song approximately 50,000 times, and then I'm ready to move on to even one other song of theirs.
Oh, it's so great. She does. She starts with the whole chorus is like a 16 line thing,
mm-hmm.
bar thing where she's like, it starts with I can't be fuck with no. Oh, you can touch this eight. Like she just keeps doing like verse, huh?
I love that it's relentlessly
so like sexual and powerful.
Yeah,
so
I fucking
so
live. And but what I mean when I say it has Cardi B potential is when I heard Bodak Yellow, I was like, this will be huge. And when I heard Hot Girl, am I really late on this?
Not real. No, she. So I didn't find out about about Megan Thee Stallion until like March, I would say, when Sam J at work was like, but when you would love
Megan
Thee Stallion, I was like, oh, who is she? And she goes, you would love her to listen to Big Ol' Freak. And I was
Big
like, what a silly, silly title. And actually, ooh, I want to share this. This is kind of a weird, weird, gross story, but I'm going to share it.
Okay, babe. I mean, look, it's up to you.
So the week of Memorial Day.
Uh-oh.
There's this fun little barbecue happening in Prospect Heights with one Anna Dresden inviting a bunch of people over. And then I had just gotten into Megan's most recent album, recent release, Fever.
Yes.
She has a song on it called Cash It, as I mentioned.
You mentioned that earlier.
And I was trying to go off book. Mm-hmm. Just for like, I was like, this is going to be a big song this summer.
It's important to be off book.
And I was just like walking out of the Prospect Park F train stop, the 7th Ave stop on the F train.
Know it well.
And I was just like lip syncing, like trying, like getting into the attitude of the song and just like,
yeah, you were living the fantasy, feeling the fantasy.
Getting into the
say.
Bars and yes, feeling the fantasy, as they
absolutely.
Say. And then who should walk by me and stop me on the street then? Miss Kate McKinnon. And she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh my God, I was listening to this song called Cash It by Megan Thee Stallion. And she, and then Kate's like, tell me everything about her. And I tell her, I go, she's this college student in Houston. She's 24 years old. She's amazing. She is incredible. And this is, and I told Kate, I was like, she's going to be a big deal this summer. And she was like, okay.
Hot girl summer.
And she was like, how often do you listen to rap? I go, very often.
Wow.
And, she, and then Kate, and if that was Kate's reaction. She goes, wow. She goes, wow. Megan Thee Stallion, I'll remember her. So, you know, hot girl summer kicked off in that very moment.
You are a hip hop queen.
I'm a hip hop queen. Absolutely.
And I actually...
Respect?
I respect that, and I see that because you know I like to write my own bars. You know I do. You know I write some nasty rap lyrics. Yeah. That's actually a secret about me.
That's a secret about you. Oh, the reason I bring up the barbecue is like because Kate was going to this barbecue.
Well, that's great.
And so we were both on our way to this barbecue, but Kate happened to see me on the streets.
Wow.
Just not silently.
Feeling your fantasy.
Feeling my fantasy.
Feeling your Megan Thee Stallion fantasy.
Absolutely. But so, yes, I know that you love to write bars. You are very good at writing bars. I love the bars you write.
In fact, there's bars on the internet if you search.
If you search...
Not me rapping, but comedy.
Oh, comedy.
It's really important for white men to comedy rap. It's actually rule of culture number 10. It's really important for white men to comedy rap.
Now, I really, really want to get into this discussion. Any discussion, really.
Honey! Talk about feeling the fantasy!
This guest has felt the fantasy.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
It's very rare when you meet someone and you immediately feel the fantasy.
It was an immediate feeling of the fantasy.
Can I say,
with this
we
guest.
Were on this person, this guest's
podcast,
Treks in the City,
ooh.
And we didn't know this guest prior.
We did not know this guest. Well, I
but had, it was an immediate family. Well, I didn't know.
Yes, I had seen her on TV.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Come on. Silicon Valley fish.
Silicon Valley fish down. Her best friend's name is Cunty. I love that scene.
Yeah. And listen,
she's incredible. She has a special coming out on Amazon. It's called My Mama's a Human and So Am I.
August 23rd.
Out August 23rd. And I cannot wait to see it.
Yeah.
And I just love her so much. Oh, she also hosts the Maisel Goy's podcast, Recaps Miss Maisel. They'll be back for season 3 when season 3 airs.
Oh, season 3 of Miss Maisel? I just can't wait.
I just can't wait.
There were so many amazing twists and turns in the second season, and I actually am excited to talk Maisel with our guests.
I am loving it.
And we're going to talk culture with our guests.
Absolutely.
And at this time, I'm going to stop referring to them as our guest, and I'm going to actually just say what their name is in unison with my bitch, Bowen Yang. And this is the time when you please welcome to the pod Las Culturistas Alice Wetterland.
Boy, killing me so deep, and I'm just falling. You are what I need for you.
Okay, so hold on. We're getting Beyonce bars.
Come on.
Spit. Now tell me why Beyonce's top of mind for you right
was,
now.
Was because when you guys are talking about Megan Thee Stallion being the song of the summer, I remember when the song Countdown came out.
Oh,
and that was
it.
The first time in my life, speaking of culture, that I ever somebody goes like, that's gonna be the song of the summer.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about like there being a song of
right,
the summer.
Right,
I was
right.
Like, I don't know where I was in my fucking life.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my God, that's right. Like there'll be a song that'll get played over and over again.
Yep, yep,
and
yep.
It was for me anyway, it was Countdown.
Yeah, I would agree.
There was a collective moment.
Yeah.
You know, and I
because I think
God.
that actually came out like was it mid to the end of the summer?
2011.
But,
summer of
yeah,
2011.
But then it came in and it was like the hot song.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I remember Brooklyn was on fire when that song came out.
Brooklyn
were you
was
living
on
in
fire.
New York at that time?
I was.
You were.
I remember I was on the train at Coney Island when I first listened to that song.
Wow.
Come on.
iconic.
And though. Where,
and, yeah.
And where else would you rather be than Coney Island when Beyonce comes on? And now you go to Coney Island and the song that you pick out is XO.
Because she famously did a music video.
A music video.
Yeah. You know, Beyonce said at the time when Countdown came out, she actually is on record as saying, mm-hmm. the hipsters love Countdown.
Oh, I love her so much for understanding.
Yeah.
Or she goes, or I think she went, like, they recorded it and then she was like, I don't know how the song will do, but I think the hipsters will love it. I think she predicted that the hipsters will love it.
Countdown has a long fucking life.
But it's universal. It's not just like a hipster niche thing. It's like everyone loves that song.
Yeah.
It's just that it's not like the typical danceable, you know, rinse and repeat kind of thing. It's got levels and stuff. So it's really theatrical. People like that. People love a song. It's like got a story.
It's got a story. You need to tell the story.
Yeah,
absolutely. It has a story to tell.
It's about a woman who's so in love in the summer.
In the summer.
In 10 different ways.
In
really.
10, in all of these ways.
In
10
all
is
these
the
ways.
Main amounts.
Yeah.
So
can I ask you a question? Would you consider yourself a Beyonce fan / like even Stan?
Yeah, for sure. But it's almost like the kind of thing where it's a go without saying. I'm not in the beehive. I'm not 13.
Right.
Like I don't, you know, worry about her or how she's doing and then go about on social media to make sure like that's, but when I first started dating my boyfriend, Garrett Lang, he's a bass player.
Oh my God,
he's a bass player in LA. Nobody knows him. Is on Twitter. He will not tell me what his handle is.
Oh my God.
He needs to open up.
So we're just getting to know each other, but like, I want you to understand that I am a, like, if you're somebody, and this was before Lemonade.
Right.
So it was like, you have to understand that like Beyonce is not something that we can like, is it good? Is it not good?
Right,
like
right
there's now. No like going back and forth. Like if you have an opinion on Beyonce that's like besides just like, yeah, she's obviously the greatest artist of all time. Like, you know, or of our time,
right?
You need to keep it to yourself.
Yeah, right. Don't talk about it.
Right.
And
it's
actually,
like
a,
something that a bridge we're not going to cross.
Right.
And I'll find out.
Yeah.
But we'll just leave it alone. Because I feel like this is going somewhere.
You are still dating him now.
Yeah.
So then we can say he's either kept his mouth shut or
we watched
he really
Homecoming
feels.
Together.
Thank
Ooh.
You.
Huge.
Thank you. Hot producer Emma is giving us some mugs of water.
Hot producer Emma just gave
we
us
came
some
up with
mugs of
the
water.
Phrase foggy monocle to describe a British man who like is watching Beyonce's Homecoming and is so like he's so horny from watching it that he's like, ooh, yeah, hoo, you know, and then his monocle
gets
foggy.
A foggy monocle.
And now it's a steampunk strip club in Portland.
the foggy monocle. Actually, we have to add that to the cultural canon.
The foggy monocle.
The foggy monocle.
Absolutely.
What an honor.
Yeah, that's actually huge. What, bitch, I'm going to say from now on, he fogged up my monocle.
Well, now,
maybe it could be an eatery in Matt Rogers in Matt Rogers
the
Land.
The foggy monocle in Matt Rogers Land. I have no problem putting that in my park.
Absolutely.
You know what?
Is it Matt Rogers Park?
It's actually Matt Rogers Theme Park.
It's Parks.
It's called Matt
Parks.
Rogers Theme Park.
Because here's the thing, like, it's so, I guess
do
I have to
explain
it.
Do you have somebody as head of parks, as in Succession?
Well, yeah, Bowen Yang is going to actually make a lot of decisions for my parks. Bowen Yang is sort of like the Gail King of Matt Rogers. And I'm
somehow
sort of
insulting.
No, it's not, because I'm the Gail King for your stuff.
Oh, yes.
So we exist in a world where I'm Oprah of my own world.
Where Matt Rogers is Oprah of his own world.
So I'm Oprah in my world and Bowen is my Gail, and Bowen is Oprah in his world and I'm his Gail.
I have no plans on opening a world, though. You have to understand.
Well, you have to understand this. Can I just say one thing, and it's actually a rule of culture? You have to be the Oprah of your own life. And that's actually rule of culture number 102.
You have to be the Oprah of your own life.
You must. It's not a negotiable situation.
No.
I mean, you can try anything else, but eventually you're going to get into enough pain internally that you have to be your own Oprah.
Access your own power, because it's there, hon.
Mm.
So wait, just back to what you were saying. Like, so it has to be the Matt Rogers theme park, because I have my eyes on resort. Mm-hmm. I'm not just trying to open up an amusement park.
Yeah.
I want a resort.
A sandals.
You understand. Yeah, so yeah, you get it. By saying sandals, it signifies that you understand.
Yeah. Did we specify the geographic location of Matt Rogers Theme Park? Is
we
it
have
Long
not
Island?
Yet specified.
You said Long Island.
It's on Long Island.
Point.
Well, actually,
it is Long Island.
It is Long Island.
The thing is, there's a part of the park that is Long Island.
Oh.
There's like an area that's Long Island. And you can get on the Fire Island Ferry. It's a really good attraction.
What if you did instead of Soarin', but it was like a Long Island Railroad.
Farian. Oh, the Long Island Railroad experience.
I absolutely.
That's amazing.
Have you spent any time on Long Island?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the you could have a special, like a quiet car experience that's like really immersive. Maybe it's like a deprivation
Yeah. Wow. That. And also it's car? Like, wait, I have a really good idea. I actually have a really good idea. Can I run this by you guys?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
actually you're part of the park now too.
Okay. Thank you.
You actually make executive decisions about the park now.
Thank you
Alice
so much.
Is on the board.
I'm only hiring like people who work at the stands. Well, no, this is actually something I stole from Dollywood, but we won't do it here. But I did hear that at Dollywood, all the people that work at like the concessions are all like at least 90. And so they're giving you your change back and it's like,
why? Yeah. Why is that?
Because they're all Dolly's
the
cousins.
Cutest yeah. thing in the world to be like, okay, one please. And they're like,
okay,
for the
so
listeners, I'm just shaking.
She's
shaking.
Yeah.
I actually anyway, have to yes. say that's different from my park.
I don't want to do that at your park.
No.
So I do have experience in like park ideas, but I don't.
Can I just say who's
I'm no
gonna,
Imagineer.
Right. Here's the thing. Well, not yet. Not yet. Right now, you're COO. You good with money?
Ooh, okay. Yes.
That's great, not great COO, but
okay. It actually is.
Operations officer.
It's coo.
Okay, so wait. Can I just say who works at my park?
Yeah.
Everyone that works at my park is either a gay teen or their friend Amanda. That's who works
I
at my park.
I love that.
It's all teens, okay. and they're all either gays that are like pretty gay
or
their friend Amanda.
Yes. Now, do the Amandas have to have the Amandas so have like to be tethered to the gay teen who's working?
Yeah. They have to be supportive and tethered.
You have to be hired in tandem.
Yeah. So basically, like jobs that one person could do.
Yeah.
It's like gays and Amandas do it together.
Of course they do. Yeah.
So like, if you were to go buy Dippin' Dots,
just it's a safety issue, especially with the ride.
Yes. Exactly.
We don't run the ride if just Amanda's there.
No.
Or
no.
if her friend is there, it's not the same. But the friend can be named anything.
No. The friend can be named anything. But actually, the friends. This is so sad, but the gays in my park only have roughly between one and four names. Chris, Ryan, Tyler, and Matt.
Now
they're
what,
all named that. It's so sad.
What is roughly between one and four
so
names?
So it is a whites-only situation.
No. It's not. I can't stress enough.
Now,
okay. And also, there's someone who's on the board. His name is Bowen Yang.
Yeah. And he is of color.
And he is of color, and he makes many decisions in the park.
Yeah, many colorful decisions. He brings culture.
I bring culture to the park.
I love it. Mm.
Would you like to design a ride for my park?
I would seriously love it. I've thought about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've thought about it. Okay, this is just a wild pitch, you know, and spitballing
blue
here.
Sky.
Just throwing stuff blue at the sky. Wall. It's you know how like when you're in a water slide, mm-hmm, it sucks because there's Band-Aids?
Oh,
what
yeah,
if
yeah,
the
yeah.
ride,
oh my God.
It's not water, it's just Band-Aids.
Wow.
This is interesting.
So you're sliding on Band-Aids.
Sliding
you know,
on
I don't,
Band-Aids.
You know what? And then I'm going to wipe that clean because
no?
I don't like it for
no,
your park. I'm actually thinking of it for another park.
Yeah, what park? What park yeah. does that belong in?
That's the Aziz I'm Sorry Land.
Aziz I'm Sorry Land.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
sorry.
An apology park that he has to make.
When you go in, the first 10 minutes are just apology.
Yeah.
No comedy. It's just him kind of being like, "I'm sorry, guys."
It's
yeah,
him.
He pays you to get in,
right?
Yeah,
because at first
you have to take a slow pass. Yeah, and yeah.
There's no fast passes in that park. It's all slow.
What they do in that park is they put a tuxedo on you and they make you look really dapper. And then after you apologize, you take all that clothes off. You put on a gray distressed shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You sit on a stool, and that's like an image change.
Oh.
Like you're supposed to think, oh, he's changed because he's sitting on a stool now and he's not wearing a blazer.
Right.
Yeah.
So can I ask you a question? If you're to take your essence and make it into a vacation destination, can you describe that?
Yeah, I can. Because
that's a good way to get to know someone.
I think it's
listeners.
Like, it's probably like, it would be some kind of a theme park. I would structure it around like a shopping adventure makeover.
Yeah.
You know, but then an action sequence. Like,
right.
uh-huh. if there was a way to make like an action comedy, but that was also Clueless, also,
oh
you know,
God.
Like, She's That Girl
type of thing
where we've got
for
the Pretty Woman ride. But it's like,
yes.
you know, I love action movies.
Yeah.
So, I want to be in an action movie so fucking bad.
Wow.
So I'm all about like bows and arrows and stuff like that. And
wow.
like, you know, really intense agility. Like I like those actual like obstacle courses.
Yeah.
Love those.
Oh, really? You like to get physical.
But I like looking really good at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the whole thing. It's like, get dressed up
this
as a different
huge.
Thing.
But the shopping experience is the big
attraction. Well, this actually is a feature. Have you ever thought of writing just the girls think they're going shopping and it becomes action film?
That's great. That's great. I think we should.
I think we should write
that down.
We should
put a pin in that.
Let's put a pin in that.
How producer Emma, are you putting a pin in that?
She shoves a pin into the screen.
Yeah,
she's like, well, I broke it.
She actually destroyed the studio.
No,
shoving a pin in that.
I mean, not in the socket. No,
not in the socket.
No. Oh, well.
She's fried.
She's all right.
That bitch is fried.
Now I...
Another one bites the dust.
Another one. Another
like
producer.
A pile of dead producers. This fucking podcast.
That bitch
is fried.
It's dangerous
for them.
Title of that?
Title up. That bitch is fried.
We had to take out so much insurance.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the thing is, here's the deal. You also host a Forever Dog podcast.
Yeah, I do, so I know.
Do you deal with hot producers in your studio?
Yes, we have hot producers.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's like, because they have personality.
Yeah, they really
one of
do.
Them is new, and she's like so hot. And she's so not into any of the... And I'm like, oh, that's perfect. Because like you're like a hot girl. You're having a hot girl summer. She's on the phone all the time. She doesn't care what we're doing.
And she doesn't know.
We're like, isn't this funny? And she's like, what? It's like mad that we're talking to her, you know?
What's her name? Do you know her name?
I can't remember. I just call
amazing.
Her Chloe, right?
Chloe.
It's like probably,
Chloe.
It's probably Chloe.
I'd like to call her Chloe.
Yes.
But here's the thing.
I was so happy, honestly, that I got here and I was like, please God, don't let it be somebody's apartment. Do you know what I mean?
You do a podcast
sometimes at somebody's apartment. Not that I wouldn't want to be in one of your spaces. It's of just course. Like.
No, you wouldn't want to be in my space.
What if it's.
It smells like weed and cum.
Yeah. What if it's like a UCB guy's apartment?
Exactly.
Not that you guys aren't UCB guys, but you know what I'm saying.
But I know what you said. Yeah. I know what you're saying. Actually, speaking of UCB guys, have you been watching the debates? Have you been keeping up with the presidential race?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So
you have to listen to James Domian has a podcast.
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm a huge fan. And
did you hear my Elizabeth Warren episode?
No, I haven't listened to that one yet.
I did Elizabeth Warren and he was like, it'll probably be like, you know, 30 minutes or whatever. And I was like, great, great, great. It was an hour 15
yep, 100%.
Of me as Elizabeth Warren and Warren talking to Bernie Sanders.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Endless. I was like, can we please stop this?
Yeah, I want to go on there as Buttigieg. Or Ben Shapiro.
Would be great. I would go on as Andrew Yang, probably.
I want to go back really quick because we did put a pin in it. The movie idea where they go shopping and
it becomes an action movie.
Shopping trip, right?
Shopping trip. Right. And I think it can be called shopping trip.
It's the outlet mall. It has to start in an outlet mall. You know,
absolutely.
This is the Labor Day weekend sale, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's going to get crazy either way. You
stakes
know this.
Stakes are high.
But then it gets really crazy because there's a heist in the outlet mall, maybe. But there's like a nuclear site underneath it.
Yes, I love that because you know what? You get a bunch of scenes in the factory where they make the clothes.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's the factory outlet.
And that's the roles that we play.
We're the factory for people.
Love it.
Yeah. We're downstairs.
We're the foreman.
We're actually quite nefarious.
Let's set up a meeting to break the story on this. I really want to get this going.
I have time.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it's probably you.
I have time Wednesday 2022.
Great. We love that. Yeah. Wednesday 2022. Emma, put a pin in that.
Wednesday 2022.
Put a pin in that.
I think, who do you think should be in it? You, Veronica?
Me. Veronica.
Yeah.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion.
I don't. Okay.
No, I like that.
Bowen.
Oh.
Matt.
Yeah. Matt. I was thinking me.
Matt.
Tyler and Amanda.
And
Chloe.
And Chloe.
I would love an appearance from a Christine Baranski.
Oh, yeah, no. Christine Baranski should play. I think she should play the voice that comes over the loudspeakers that says, it's time to evacuate the mall.
Yes.
I think that should be her role. It's like
and
she's
it's
unseen,
like,
but
she's
you
unseen,
know it's
but
her.
Then at the very end, it's her all along or something like that. And then you're like,
she plays the bomb.
And she turns around and she's like,
wow, I you love know? That. So did you see that movie Searching?
No.
With John Cho?
Yes.
Did I see
that with you?
No, I didn't see it because I was too afraid.
Uh-huh.
So what I do is whenever I don't want to see a movie but I'm interested, I'll just look it up on spoiler websites and so I'll have a vocabulary for the film.
Oh, amazing.
Something about me.
Like time
spoiler alert for Searching. If you haven't seen Searching, you can hit the 15 ahead button right now. Turns out Deborah Messing is
the bad guy,
the villain.
But you know,
this would be very Deborah Messing of Christine Baranski in this movie.
There's the most disturbing part of that movie is there's this moment where so John Cho has this brother.
John Cho, we should say a star and hot.
John Cho has
really
this
hot.
Brother. So the story is like John Cho's daughter goes missing.
I'm going to look at this movie up because I need to see the poster.
I have to talk about this because I can't believe this happened and I still haven't thinking about it to this day. John Cho has a brother, has a brother character is very close with, and then the daughter's close with too. And then for a second, you think,
oh no,
that there's this like incest storyline where the daughter is fucking the uncle, and you're like, and then as the audience, everyone was just like, wait, what?
How long do they let that belief
for
be
like
held?
5 to 10 minutes?
Oh, that's a long time.
And it's like too much time to sit with and be like, no.
I would say yeah. 5 to 10 minutes is too long to let incest sit in the air.
Absolutely.
And that's actually really culture number 50.
That was the notes about my last late night set.
Yeah.
Yes.
They said, hey, 5 to 10 minutes is actually too long to let incest sit in there. It's real culture number 50.
Really good note.
5 to 10 minutes is too long to let incest sit in there.
And they only gave you a 6-minute set.
Exactly.
Oh, and you did 10 minutes on incest.
I do have notes.
That was you on Conan. Well, we saw you kept waving the light away, and you were like, I have to do 4 more minutes on my incest material.
Yeah. They were like, but it's just sitting here. Do you know what I mean?
It's like a tepid stench.
It's not going anywhere. It's just sitting.
Incest material doesn't really go anywhere. You know, it just kind of sits with you. It does give you indigestion.
I mean, how do you heighten?
What are you going to do to heighten it?
Can I say one thing about this shopping trip thing that I really like is, do you think that they win in the end, the girls, or do you think that it ends in a shocking way?
Well, what's most like real life?
Mm.
I mean, they come away having changed.
Yeah.
But do they really win? Or do they realize the pieces they wanted all along were in their closet already?
Oh, my God.
That's actually
huge.
You know
what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it could be two things. I think they could survive and live the experience.
Survive.
But they actually don't leave with anything from the mall.
Right.
So their initial goal of getting things from the mall, they did not achieve, but they do live. And in a way, not getting anything from the mall was winning because they already have what they needed in their closet.
I actually have a story pitch on this.
Okay, go.
So they go shopping at this outlet mall. They want to buy all this new stuff. There's a big sale.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The nuclear threat, they find out. I think the nuclear threat is the big central conflict, and that the girls have to dismantle this nuclear bomb.
Yeah, that's the inciting
you
incident.
You find out. Mm-hmm. The person who planted the nuclear bomb is Marie Kondo. Because she wants to destroy every mall in America. She doesn't want people to buy shit anymore. But then the girls not only dismantle the bomb, but they convince Marie Kondo to just come out. They could just come out from the dark side and join their cause, which is like malls are good, malls are important.
Mm-hmm.
Marie Kondo, what they've learned is, and then what the girls learn is like sort of a balanced morality where it's like, we can shop for new things, but not too much. We can't have this crazy consumerism that blinds us, and then we can also let go of the things that we don't need anymore.
Wow.
And Marie Kondo also meets them in the middle.
So okay,
notes, please.
If it's Marie Kondo is the arbiter of, like, she's the, you know, behind the scenes villain.
Yes.
I think maybe it's more she has the nuclear codes to the site.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember when in Bridesmaids, Melissa McCarthy was like, all the nuclear,
they're in malls.
So I think the nuclear bomb is already there.
Yes.
She just
has the codes.
Yeah.
She gets the codes, and then that's, you know, and so, but here's what I really want.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be four girls who have nothing to do with the government or espionage.
No.
Right.
I want one of them to be a spy, and that's how they got involved.
Absolutely. Do you think that maybe the three of them...
I get so sick of heist movies where it's like,
we're just girls.
Like, I want a little bit of rub.
Yeah.
You know?
So here's what I think, and tell me what you think about this. I think that I've always wanted to be in a movie where this happened, or in a life situation where this happened.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Shit goes down,
and
one of your friends all of a sudden whips out, like, a weapon that they have licensed, and they're able to monitor the situation. And then in that moment, it's revealed to all the friends who thought they knew this person that they actually were CIA.
Fantastic.
007.
Fantastic.
So I think
that stuff's really hard to just justify, though. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you can justify anything with an imagination, actually.
Okay.
It's actually an imagination problem.
It's actually an imagination problem.
If you're coming up against
that,
I'm really worried about you.
Yeah, it's actually an imagination issue that you have.
Okay. All right.
So I think that it's four girls, and then truly,
I need you to get help.
Okay. You need to seek treatment. You need to get help.
Listen to Seek Treatment Wednesdays and Fridays.
Mondays and Fridays. They famously do three a week.
That just helped you with your imagination. Is that like, that's like a child psychiatrist?
Yeah, honestly, well, I know a lot of people with
adults
that problem.
Adults go to child psychiatrists? It's
yes,
not a problem.
Yes, they do.
I'm not going to apologize.
I can't afford an adult therapist, a psychiatrist.
Do you think this works?
What?
Like, four girls going out to the mall, shit goes down, one of them all of a sudden whips out this knowledge, maybe in a flashback that takes like 5 minutes, we see their history.
Mm-hmm. Wait, can I tell you something?
Yes.
You can tell us anything.
Got 3 tickets to see the Cher show, because my father loves Cher.
Is that why you didn't go?
That's why I didn't go, because of the blackout. And I go up to the Today Ticks guy,
And I go, yeah, last name is Yang. And he like scrolls down his iPad. I see the name Helena York. She was supposed to go there too. And I text her. I was like, I'm supposed to be at the Cher show with you. And she goes, really? I heard my, she goes, my friend plays Sonny and he says that they might have to cancel the show because of this blackout.
Wow.
Because first of all, so I was walking from Herald Square to the theater, the Neil Simon Theater, had to cut through Times Square and there was just like a billion fire trucks everywhere. I didn't know what was happening. Mm-hmm. A crazy amount of people, even for Times Square, I was like, something's going on. Mm-hmm. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
And then we got to the theater and then Helena's like, there's a blackout happening. No. I was like, what? Anyway, not that interesting of a story.
Well, here's the thing. My dad actually texted me. He said, Bowen is taking his parents to see the Cher show. Uh-huh. And I said, yes, I know.
And then that was it.
I said, Bowen's dad?
Love Cher. Love Cher.
Against all odds.
Against all odds. Anyway, but he missed out. There probably would have been like a lot of gay moments that like he would have been like, I don't know about that.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. Cher is gay. And look, the fact that Cher is gay culture.
Cher is gay
and the
culture.
Fact that your dad is embracing Cher, to me, means that there's an opening. There's a door that's open there.
And it's Cher opening.
And it's Cher.
It.
I think my dad's going to come
on
out.
Come on in.
Roland's gay.
I think once once Taylor Swift's new album comes out, he's going to come out of the closet.
Taylor.
Yeah. Taylor Swift. What's your thoughts on the whole Taylor Swift? Because you have takes. That's what I fucking love about you.
I love
you.
About Alice.
You have fucking takes. What's your shit with Taylor?
Taylor, well, again, a lot of times I feel like society has this thing where we'll pick like one straggly white woman to be like, you're the voice of all women now. Mm-hmm. And they're always too young, right? Or they're always
without experience
yeah. in the spotlight. And then they're saying a bunch of bullshit that doesn't make any, you know, and it's just like, don't listen to her about everything.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
the reason that she feels very entitled to her position in the spotlight. Sure. And she's not entitled to her position in the spotlight.
Sure.
She's extremely, you know, she's got a lot of hits, but she's basic. And it's just, you know, I guess my whole thing is like, I think I want every white woman in Hollywood to get better at taking criticism and better at absorbing the backlashes that they create. It's just like, this shouldn't be hard. It should be part of your practice.
Can I tell you who's really good at it?
Who?
Felicity Huffman.
What did she do?
Her apology after the whole fucking, the whole college fiasco.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, she still is very, like, she's very culpable of wrongdoing.
She's a criminalista.
But her apology, I was like, this is actually a very well-worded apology. I thought that like it was a very earnest, genuine, like I've done.
When you compare it to Ms. Laughlin.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. I mean, there's that. But also it's like, okay, that's kind of.
Who's out doing trapeze in front of the fucking courthouse.
I know. But I was like, oh, you've like, my personal needle has been moved a little bit. My little needle has moved. So like, you know, I'm like, oh, okay. I actually kind of understand Felicity a little bit more. I don't know.
Okay, so in our movie, like, comeback role.
Yeah, I would say yes. I think she actually should play one of the girls.
Okay,
I think
great.
She should play 22.
Yeah.
I think it's literally us and Felicity Huffman, and no one acknowledges that she is not 22.
Yeah,
it's just understood
good.
That we're all 22-year-old girls.
That's the new
girls.
Thing. Age is the new frontier.
Age is the new thing.
She'll be the Rachel Dolezal of age. She can identify as 22.
And I want young people to get offended about it.
She's pretending.
No one see this.
People will leave our movie talking.
Yeah. They will.
They'll be leaving our movie talking and arguing.
They'll be leaving early.
Yeah.
Talking.
I want to figure out.
Some of them for talking. They'll get kicked out.
Right,
depending
exactly.
if you're at the ArcLight, that's what's going
to
happen.
If you're at the ArcLight, then we'll kick you out for talking. I want to be able to figure out the most efficient way to offend young people, quote, end quote. Like, what would that look like to offend the youth? Like, what does that mean? I see how you can offend old people by being like, well, old people are so stupid. For young people, you're like that classic
line. I'm older.
Line.
I love that.
Just calling young people stupid, not going
to
work.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
You have to be like young people.
I'll offend young people right now.
Go.
Do it.
Your fucking taste in mainstream music is whack.
Oh, it is garbage.
It's bad.
Billie Eilish being the number one superstar right now, to me, is a whack idea. It's slow and dead.
But
we like
Billie.
You don't speak for me.
Wow.
I'll put a pin in you right now.
Well, put a pin in that.
I'll put a pin in you as I live and breathe, and you won't.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't like Billy. I don't like Billy.
No.
I don't know what half of this shit is, so it's like I can't really weigh in, but every time I do hear a snippet or a clip of like radio right now, but is it young people's fault that radio sucks? I don't think it's their
fault. I would say
fault.
it's can I give
it's
an academic
music.
Response to this?
Go.
I think the sort of like hopelessness of the world right now has us dead. And I think that we are emotionally dead. Mm-hmm. So when Katy Perry comes out with Sorry, the fucking bop of the summer, which is never really over for me, which this, I'm sorry, but fool across from me, which is you, Bowen, says he, quote, doesn't really get never really over.
Yeah.
It's like, to me, it's like we were given an opportunity to like emotionally live out loud with a pop song. And we said, actually, no, we want to keep Billie Eilish on top of the charts. And I'm sorry, but what is it?
Yeah.
Billie Eilish?
Yeah. What is it? Can you explain it to me? Can anyone?
It's just, it's like pure, it's like, it's production first. It's production forward. Ugh. It's like,
who needs that?
Like a Sofia Coppola movie.
Sure, but it's like, I've talked to you about this fucking, that whole BuzzFeed thing about how niche pop is like the only like pop that like resembles like 2010 Katy Perry, Kesha, Gaga, Rihanna.
Mm.
Back then, Rihanna. Like, it's like, it's now it's like the Robins, the Carly Rae Jepsens, like the Betty Who's, the Kim Petrases. It's like,
are
you
niche.
Guys at home? I just want to know, quick question.
Go.
Taking fucking notes?
Yeah, you're fucking taking fucking notes.
Take fucking notes. No, but
imagine
it's like,
someone taking notes.
Taking notes, I know. But it's like,
oh, just so worried.
Like Mo Fry-Pasek saying that the Robin concert was one of the first times she's ever been able to go to the bathroom unobstructed and that the line for the men's bathroom was longer. It's like, it's for gay men.
It's for gays. I mean, I was, listen, do you know Betty Who?
No, that's why I said taking notes.
Okay, so take notes.
Because I was like, Robin,
notes.
Love it. What was the other one you said?
Kim Petras.
Kim Petras.
Kim Petras. No, what was the second one after Robin?
Oh,
Betty Who, probably.
Betty Who, Carly Rae Jepsen?
Carly Rae.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Love Robin, love Carly J. And I was like, Betty Who?
So here's the thing with Betty Who. Betty Who is like so fucking fun and such a fun pop star, but she's niche, and I think she remains niche. Because if you really listen to her lyrics, did I talk to you about this or was I talking to Joel?
I don't know. Maybe Joel.
Maybe I was talking to...
That's racist.
No, because I also was about to say it could have been Jared that I was talking
yeah,
to.
Yeah, or he could have been Joel Fleischman from Northern Exposure.
Right.
So
it could have been Joel Fleischman from Northern
I could have been talking about
Northern
Joel,
Exposure.
And that's actually erasure for you to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that is erasure.
I know many more than one Joel. That's actually rule of culture number six.
I know many more than one Joel.
Thank you for
Joel's not
me
the only one.
Yeah.
Joel won't talk to me right now because I told them there's Luann in his chart. We sometimes do Real Housewives
astrology
charts, and I had to actually break the news to Joel that there was Lou in his chart, and he has not DM'd me.
And you're
back.
Not speaking.
Do you watch Housewives of New York?
I don't.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Roni.
Wait, let me say one thing. Let me make a point about Betty Who. Betty Who clearly has an army of gay men putting her shit together, because if you listen to her lyrics, it is like so weirdly unrequited love centric and so strangely like longing, and like it's so specifically lyrically like applicable to like the gay or queer experience that it's like, but it's clearly like she does it with an intense love for that. And she has like her backup dancers like licking her thighs in a way that you're like, oh, those are gay men.
Okay, yeah. I have to listen to
you.
No,
have to.
I'm like, I just,
it's
now
so
I'm like,
gay.
Well,
and there's nary a non-bop. I mean, it's an army of bops.
Okay.
For you to say,
what, bitch?
That these backup dancers are licking her thigh as the like brainchild of a gay man is so fun. I don't know why that's
because
so funny.
You think about this. Some queer comes in, let's call it Betty, who's creative director, says, okay, you're going to have two backup dancers, and they're going to come over during this part, and this one's going to get on his knees and lick your thigh. Hi, honey. And she's gonna say great, and then the amount of straight men that would get that
is zero.
It is zero.
It's like the straight men wouldn't get
but and
the
also
guys,
like, you're not
the
gonna
dancer
have
okay
a straight male backup dancer come over to lick my thigh. No, that has to be a gay man.
I wouldn't want one to. I'd be like, I'm fucking working right now. Like, what are you doing?
That has to be
freak.
A sister.
You're canceled.
Canceled. Any straight man tries to lick my thigh,
four,
you're
canceled.
Stage four canceled.
I think you've over the course of this episode, Matt, have really covered like the professional bookends for a gay man who in a young gay teen will start working at Matt Rogers theme park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then will move up the ladder to being Betty Who's creative director.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what's going to happen is Betty Who is actually going to come to the Matt Rogers theme park, and she's going to say, whatever's going on here, I want to be reflected on stage when I go out there. Mm-hmm. And so someone will step forward and say, hi, I'm the creative director of this park.
Yes.
She'll do Matchella every year.
Actually, it'll be Betty Who, Kelly Clarkson, and the cast of Glee.
The cast of Glee.
That's Matchella.
Awesome.
Wow.
Amazing.
Do you ever do that thing on Spotify at the end of the year where it says, like, this is what you've been listening to all year?
No.
Mine is humiliating.
So embarrassing.
Mine's bad.
I don't need that.
No.
I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see that. Let me tell you, you don't want
to
see that.
I've been listening to a lot of Earth Gang. Now I just...
Oh, see, but then you're cool.
No, I'm not. I'm friends with Yodoya Travis is what it is.
So he's cool.
He goes in like, what are you listening to now? And I'm like, Outkast from... Stankonia, because I don't know any new music.
That's, but like even Stankonia is cool.
Yeah. It is, but it's like, I listen to it because it's like the coolest thing that I can think of.
Is Yodoya your coolest friend?
Probably.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
He's very cool.
And also,
I mean,
gorgeous.
He is insanely good looking.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's going to be hard to be friends with you, but then it wasn't, because when you become friends with somebody and then it becomes like collegiate and familial.
Well,
and
the thing is, I find that, you know, when you have genitals, they respond to stimuli. And then the thing is that,
story about this.
That does fade away.
Story about genitals.
Story about the story.
And
go
genitals
on.
Responding to stimuli.
Go on.
So I'm working my way into becoming a prestige actress.
That's a fabulous ass.
Really. And I want to do action movie. That's like my dream. I want to do action movie so
I
bad.
So
I
get that
so,
for you.
I work out constantly.
Yeah.
I can deadlift 135. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of muscles.
Oh
my back is crazy. And in both ways, like it's muscular and it's fucked up. Anyway.
I have a ripped scoliosis back.
I have a ripped fucking sore.
Ripped scoliosis back. Honestly,
it's
front runner for title.
Bone, spurs, and muscle.
Bone, spurs, and muscle.
So I'm trying to do drama, right? And I keep auditioning. Yeah. For fucking Fear the Walking Dead. They brought me like a billion times.
Come on.
They want me in this fucking show for some reason.
Yeah.
Never get it. But then I got this other drama that's coming out in CBS All Access. I got a guest star.
Okay.
Two episodes of this show called Interrogation.
Okay.
Which is next year coming out.
Who's top line in that?
Alexander Skarsgård.
Come on.
Peter Sarsgaard.
Now.
Sorry, Peter Sarsgaard.
Oh, okay.
Peter Sarsgaard. Peter Sarsgaard. David Strathairn.
Okay. Ooh. Come on. Good man and good lurk.
Andre Rojo, Bubbles from the Wire.
Okay. On the Wire.
Fuck, there's like three more ridiculous actors in it.
Wow.
And I'm like, and also, and my tits.
Yeah, right.
And your tits.
And so the guy, it's
your
about
tits, ass, and back.
My tits hasn't back. And so I got it and they're like, but there's a nudity and simulated sex scene. Can you do it? And I was like, I was like, oh no. And then I was like, wait a minute. Like,
how intense?
And then I read the script again. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I need the money. I have a mortgage. So I got the job and then I went out to do it. I filmed in Albuquerque. The guy that I'm playing opposite, he's not somebody that I had heard of really, but he is an excellent actor. He's like but here's the crazy thing.
Okay.
Drama actors just do drama acting.
It's crazy. It's,
what the, that is wild.
It's not two ways. Isn't that wild?
They just go in there and I'm like,
they
you're all really doing this.
Right.
Like
and
it's
so
a thing to do.
Were they fun on set?
I mean, like a person is, you know, like, like it wasn't like we were like cutting up. I tried 100 times to make him laugh and it would be like 30% of the time he'd get it and be like, haha. The rest of the time he'd be like, I'm in the mode, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so crazy and weird. Like one of the scenes that we had to do was he was making breakfast for me. Mm-hmm. And for some reason it was shot really well. Like it's beautiful looking. But one of the director was like, I want the camera to pan up from the coffee being made. The toast is down, the eggs are getting flipped, and I come out and like I've got a t-shirt on and nothing else, and I like hug him from the back or whatever, and then we have to have like an emotional scene.
Okay.
Meanwhile, all this shit's going on, so it's like every time we'd come out, I'd be like, hey, it's okay. It's okay. And then it would be like toast pops up, you know? And I'm like dying.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is a Rube Goldberg breakfast machine happening behind you right now. And I think it's the fucking funniest thing in the world. There was like 10 people to be like, coffee, toast, okay, eggs, flip, turn them on, boom, go. And then like be dramatic. And he's in it. He's just like, doesn't break at all.
Does.
And I'm like, listen, I think, my toast is like popping up. And I'm just like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Wait, so. It seems like
I did a sex scene.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Talk about that.
And it was hot.
Wow.
I was like, oh, actually, this is awesome.
He was so hot.
He's hot. But yeah. I was like, it was just like your body is like doing the sex motions. Mm-hmm. And it's a new person. So there's the novelty factor.
Oh, tell me
and
all
I
about
was
it.
Like, let's go again. Like I was having the time of my life.
I don't. I need to figure out for myself if I. But this is so interesting. That you're on this side of this debate is that some people are like sex scenes are so impersonal, they're so bad, they're so humiliating. But then there's the other side of it where it's just like no, it's hot, and I feel like I'm having sex with this person. Like, so you're in that camp, right? It's like,
yeah. And this is like the second time I've done, I did like an indie thing where yeah. it didn't get released, but like I did a makeout scene with a guy who, again, another guy who was like very attractive, but I wasn't like into him.
Yeah.
But it was like, Vance, Vance, Vance.
But you trick your brain into thinking, we talked about this before.
It's like, just like any acting. Yeah. But like you're, the other thing I was telling my boyfriend about this, and I was like, the crazy thing about sex acting is that like, when you're delivering a line in a certain way, you want it to be real to the character and real to the story and mm-hmm. also like seem genuine, seem uh-huh. natural, exactly. all this shit, it's drama. But with sex,
yeah.
there's like two ways of being. Well, and you're also already acting when you're having normal sex.
Right.
Yeah. So it's
right.
like oh my everybody's God, yeah. good at it.
Wow. So, okay, wow. this is actually is fascinating. Like I forget who it was that was quoted this, but I was reading some interview with some actress and she was like, well, in the sex scene, like I'm having sex as the character. I'm not having sex as me. And I'm like, now explain that.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if she's like aggressive sexually as the character or like she's physically doing things that she wouldn't do. That to me is fascinating.
Well,
I would be too in my head.
If I said something like, I'm having sex as the character, mm-hmm. That's what I say during normal sex as well.
Like, the two ways of having sex that you're talking about are either you are loving it or it's terrible. Like, is it like super binary like that? Like, maybe. Like,
oh,
people,
yeah. No, I mean, I'm just saying like, of, like if you're into it, like, the, yeah, you can be having like lackluster sex, but there's a way of being like, you know,
wow,
I'm
ever.
It's so hot. I'm so into it. And then we're so in love.
Yeah. yeah.
Or it's like animalistic or whatever. And we'd like hate it. It's a hate fuck. I feel like there's like maybe those
yes,
two directions.
Yes,
but it was
yes.
just like, oh, this is easy. And we had all these scenes where we were making out. And I was like, I was so worried that it was going to be affected and weird. And then it wasn't at all. Cause I'm like, yeah, when you're fucking in someone's face like this,
yeah.
it's very easy to be subtle.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
I've never had a makeout scene.
There's no scene where you're like, uh-huh, what are uh-huh. we going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
Like yeah. it's obvious what you are supposed to do.
I've never had a makeout scene with a man on camera, have I?
I don't know.
I've done one sex scene on camera and no one will ever see it, and it was with Joel Kim Booster.
Oh right. Where
no
he fellated you.
He gave me oral sex.
Oh yeah.
And I was like this. Remember Joel?
I remember. Oh, remember Joel?
Hey Joel.
I
was like, remember Joel when I was like this? Oh, dad. That's what I
That's
say on all
countdown.
My theme park. Oh, dad.
This ride, it's the commercial, will have you sing, oh, dad.
Title of ep.
Oh,
exclamation point, dad.
Dad. Oh, dad.
No.
Dad. That's me. That's me during sex.
Dad.
Oh,
so distracting.
It's so sad.
Dad.
Wait, hold on.
Do you think
ask the goddamn question?
I know. Wait, one last thing I want to ask,
Alice.
Is drama harder than acting to you?
It's drama harder than acting.
It's
drama harder than acting. It's drama harder than acting.
Why are
it's
you
so
laughing?
Funny.
Title of episode.
It's drama harder than acting. Write that down, or I'll put a pin
no,
in you,
I'm,
Emma.
I'm like, oh, dad.
Oh, dad.
Is drama harder than comedy?
It's drama. Okay, is drama harder than comedy? Yes, answer this.
It's so much easier.
I don't believe that.
100% it's easier.
Absolutely. I've seen actors who are award fucking Oscar winning drama actors try to do a comedy and absolutely cannot do it.
They freak out.
On the other way, the success rate, very high.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, fine.
Because I think people have the assumption that it's easier to do comedy because it's like, you know, yuck.
Yeah.
But it's like, and also, so I think because of that public perception, like their sort of expectations are lower. And when a comedian comes along and like is able to sit on camera and say words like a person, they're like,
wow,
grounded, never before seen. Kristen Wiig can actually talk in her normal voice.
Yeah.
And it's like, meanwhile, like when drama actors come try to do comedy, I mean, you probably know from working at the SNL and also like us all from working with people that once they get a comedic script in their hand, they're like, okay, what do I do? And
well, if you're not funny,
I'm gonna look stupid.
If you don't have your own comedic timing and voice in real life, why would you suddenly have that?
Yes,
we all have
yes.
our real life in real life though, so we can all relate
tap into that.
Having
there
emotions.
You go.
But like if you don't have the funny bone, you know, and like people are like, loose with it. And that's the other thing. Like, it's very loose. You have to trust yourself. Mm. You have to have that don't think mentality.
Yes.
Thank you.
You have to have that don't think mentality. Hashtag Upright Citizens Brigade. And wait, I just wanted to put
and
a pin on.
Do it any other way. iOS doesn't work.
iOS before, doesn't
before
fuck
we,
iOS.
Wait, before we ask the question and then do I don't think so, honey, I have to say one thing about before I brought up the presidential debates, and I brought that up.
Because yes.
Eric Swalwell, who's now dropped out of the race, reminds me of a UCB guy who I would have seen execute a second beat, and
absolutely.
That would be fine. And especially when he said, oh my God, he said like a joke in the first presidential debate.
I remember.
It was, we're breaking up with Russia and making up with NATO.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said it with the kind of look in his eyes where I was like, you...
You thought that was so funny.
I was like, I took 201 with you.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Like a canned joke that you just...
I took 201 with Eric Swalwell and he dropped out of that class after the second week too.
That's
it was too hard. 201's when it gets hard.
201's when it gets hard. That's rule culture number 49. 201's when it gets hard. Anyway,
we have to ask Alice the question. Which is, Alice, what was the culture that made you say culture is for me? The formative culture, whether it was a book, a movie, a play, a TV show, a neighborhood you grew up in.
What if it was you? Cardi B's baby and it was that recent?
Culture. And it was that recent and you didn't have culture before.
I mean, for a lot of people, culture. I feel like it is.
It's culture.
Definitely for culture herself.
Absolutely. Culture is herself.
Yeah, it's
culture.
Like, well, when I was goddamn born and named. So I guess I'm thinking of like when I was little and my mom was like very feminist. Like it was like growing up in a Christian household where you know how you can only listen to like Christian rock or whatever.
Yeah.
But my mom was like the feminist version of that. She was like, no, only Joan Armatrading, trading, you know, or like only Tracy Chapman. Like the only music we're listening to is Katie Lang today.
Oh,
and like,
hell yeah.
Joni Mitchell or whatever.
Oh.
So there was a resistance to like that type of like I was like, oh, I want to have fun, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, my mom was furious, but it was Barbie. I was like,
wow.
I love this. Barbie is culture.
And have we ever talked about Barbie? We've never talked about Barbie
on this
show.
It's just like, you know, and people didn't get this. It's not about her. It's not a human being, right?
No.
It's not like I'm like, oh, I need to look like Barbie. Are you fucking kidding me?
No,
Barbie needs to look like Barbie so she can fit into all these Barbie outfits.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
And into her weird car.
Yeah. The thing about Barbie is she's also, you know, she has so many friends.
Yeah.
Yes.
That it's also like, you have to understand it's never about her. It's about the larger community of Barbies. Because the way you do Barbie is you buy about 100.
Yeah.
And how they all have different outfits.
Yeah.
And then it's more like, it's less like, do you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's about creating a community of Barbies. And so that's the positive lesson.
If you want to have a body positive Barbie, and you want girls to be, for some reason, looking at a body positive, fine, that's great, do it.
Yeah.
But do it the best, do it the Barbie way. Have all the fucking clothes, all the outfits, sexy astronaut, all this shit.
Yeah,
because they don't do it. They're like, here's your new doll. And it's
totally.
Like, good, it's got a green shirt. I love it.
Yeah,
like,
when
fine,
you would,
it's not a doll.
When you would play Barbies, what would you do?
So I would like set them up in a, like they worked in a store together. Mm-hmm, and I would set up I was an only child. So like I had a whole, this was my life. They would like sit in a store and then work the day. They'd work all day and then they would go home.
This is Vanderpump Rules.
Oh yes. My god.
And then they would like go home after work and like have dinner. Like they like live together or whatever.
Oh my god, they had a real 9-to-5.
Yeah, they had it. There was like 9-to-5.
Would they talk about their day?
Yeah, they would. And they would talk about like, you know, boys and whatever.
Of course.
Because I was a kid, but I like, didn't understand like why people talked about boys. So I'd like go through the motions.
Wow.
You know?
I used to do this very similar. I used to do that as well. But I would create block. I would put my blocks together and I would play with Power Rangers. And then they would have conversations with each other. But the way that I played Barbies was with my sister, because she was the one that had the Barbies.
Yep,
so I would, of course, co-opt that.
Yep.
And we would take all the Barbies, put them on the bed, and we would play Titanic with the Barbies. So that one by one, they would die by being thrown off the bed.
Yes.
Which was,
that's
of course,
awesome.
The Titanic. And the one that always lived was the one that was wearing this like gorgeous little blue dress that was the same color as the heart of the ocean. And she was always the rose.
Genius.
If I may.
Now, how would you play Barbies?
So, likewise, my sister was the one who had the dolls.
Yeah.
We had the star of the pack was Aladdin.
We
had an Aladdin doll.
And was he smaller than
the
Barbies?
He was a little bit bigger, actually.
Oh,
and he was truly so fucking hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but then we had our regular Barbies, and it was Barbie and Aladdin would get into fights because Barbie and Aladdin were having an affair. But Barbie was like, you need to tell Jasmine about us. Or you're like, you need to leave Jasmine for me. It was like truly my sister would
so
like,
this white bitch was coming along.
Yes.
She said, you have to leave her.
You have to leave her. And then
I feel like I played that same game.
I remember like my sister like taking Barbie's hand and like taking her hand up and slapping Aladdin across the face. It was like the woman was right in this situation.
White bitch narrative.
White bitch
narrative. Honestly, bitch front narrative. Runner for title of it.
White bitch narrative.
Yeah, white bitch narrative. I identify and I hate it. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Honestly, wow, you let a white bitch narrative play out in your play.
Did you and I play did you and I play the Barbie board game?
No.
Oh my God, the Barbie board game is iconic, where the goal was to be the queen of the prom, and you would have
the queen of the prom.
It takes place in like the 50s and like mid-century, where the three things were: you had to go steady with someone, you had to like be class president, you had to like get a title and
get slapped
school and get slapped. But it was this thing, it was a board game where you were feeling the fantasy of being Barbie in high school. And it was like truly like
most problematic you could get.
But it was like for a little gay boy playing that game, it's like you're trying on mommy's clothes. It's so beautiful and informative, actually. And we've never talked about Barbie on this.
We've never spoken about Barbie. And can we all just say a few words about Barbie's automobiles that she has?
Come on.
Because she actually rides dirty in several different kinds of things. She has a beautiful pink car,
yes,
which is her, I think, her most famous mobile.
Her most famous mobile.
And then I believe Barbie has even been known to get on a motorcycle.
For sure. She hot rod. Barbie's hot rod. Hello? I think it was like Hot Rod Barbie.
Oh my God.
Is there a Barbie boat?
I love. Gotta be. There is. And I love that when Barbie does a thing, she becomes the culture. Like, I am Hot Rod Barbie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like,
she
I am
takes
science
on, like,
Barbie.
Hot Rod culture.
Yeah, yeah. Like, when I'm doing, like, it's like today, like right now, I'm Coffee Alice.
Yeah,
like,
Coffee
like,
Alice.
Like, and then later on, I'll be fucking Lunch Alice.
Yeah,
I'm
lunch
Podcast Alice.
Alice
right now.
Your podcast
Barbie?
Podcast Barbie.
Oh my God. What's Barbie's podcast
She's
sound
got a
like?
Pink mic setup.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like sparkling sounds, and it's like, welcome back. Today, my favorite shape is a circle. I guess she wouldn't be like, welcome back, though, because where were you before?
Where were you before?
It's a podcast.
Well, what are Barbie's ads?
Barbie's ads are for
Casper. BetterHelp.com.
MeUndies.
Cora.
Oh,
Barbie does Quip ads.
She's like, I sleep with my Quip because it's her size. And she's like, it's a giant vibrating body pillow. She's like, honestly, the best.
This is the thing with Barbie.
Ken's out of town a lot.
Ken's out of town a lot. This is the thing about Barbie
out of town a lot is a euphemism for gay.
For gay, absolutely. Yeah. Remember James Anderson, SNL sketches, Britney Spears and Amy Poehler playing Barbie and Skipper?
Yes.
And then Chris Kattan would come on as Ken, and he just goes, I'm going to Malibu. Don't call me. But Barbie is drag, though. Barbie is like putting on different hats and being like, now I'm this.
Yeah.
It's truly beautiful.
Barbie is actually the most important drag figure of all time.
Yes, I agree.
Barbie started drag. And Barbie showed us that you're all born naked and the rest is drag. And when you get up in the morning and you put on your drag, and you are both in drag, you learned that from Barbie, and that was why Barbie is important.
Absolutely. Relationship with Barbie now?
I mean, no.
Truly, but
truly,
God, no.
Rearview mirror. This is one of those.
Rearview, yeah.
Is there going to be a Barbie movie? Wasn't there going to be with
Amy
Schumer?
Schumer? Yeah, I think it's happening.
Really?
Still. Yeah.
It was definitely on
I'm
the
like
books.
So excited about that. Can you tell from my face? I want it to be like happen. Glenn Close or something.
Yeah, okay. That would be really fun.
Amy, one of the Amys. What's the Amy?
Sherman Palladino.
Amy Sherman Palladino.
As Barbie.
Finally hits the screen.
Yeah. She's meant for it.
She is, absolutely.
For the screen. We never talked about Maisel. So,
should we have a few words on Maisel?
Well, I mean, you wanted to bring it up, so I'm not.
Go.
Go.
No, I don't have anything to say specific.
Maisel now.
On the spot. That's okay.
On the spot, Maisel. This actually is a new segment.
It's
called On the Spot, Maisel.
All right. Maisel. I like Maisel. I watch Maisel. I'm not averse to watching Maisel. Am I excited there's a season 4? Of course I'm excited, but I
that's a really good, God, really good Maisel.
I'm a Team Joel. That's all I have to say.
Team Joel. Team Joel. You know, in that last scene, and this is going to be a spoiler for Maisel, very similar to before our spoilers for Searching. You know, in the last scene, she says, Rachel
Deborah
Brosnahan.
Deborah Messing is the villain.
Actually, it's Deborah Messing is the villain of Maisel.
Yes, sorry.
Rachel Brosnahan, who I want on the pod.
I would love
And I've
her
been
on the
saying
pod.
This.
Yes.
She says, I want to be with someone who loves me.
Yeah.
And then they intensely kiss, cut to black.
Wait, so my thing with Joel is just like, if everybody's like, Joel's trash. And I'm like, great, maybe so. Guess who else is trash? Fucking Maisel.
Yeah, Maisel's trash.
Oh, yeah.
Midge, she sucks.
Midge has trash elements.
Yeah, she's a fucking ASP alpha female character. She sucks.
There you go.
Done.
There's a lot going on there.
So they belong together.
I think they might belong together.
I love them together. And
he's obviously the Mr. Big.
What's that actor's name? He's incredible. Ooh. And he...
Michael Zegan.
Yes.
Yes.
And he came to the show when Bras hosted. So good looking in person.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
God, he's
hot.
Really hot.
Yeah, he's real hot. He's one of those secret hotties that you look on television and you go, okay, TV actor. And then you look at them in real life and you're like, oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Your genitals responds.
Yeah. Oh, Dad.
I go, it was just like me on set with Joel when we did our sex scene.
Oh, Dad. I think it's time.
I think it's time
for I Don't Think So, Honey.
Oops. It's time for I Don't Think So, Honey. Okay. And if you're curious about what I Don't Think So, Honey is, what I Don't Think So, Honey is we take 1 minute to rail against something in culture that we don't like. And if you'd like to see this happen live, you're actually in luck because we are going on the road. We're going to be in Atlanta on August 7th, Orlando on August 8th, Denver on August 22nd?
22nd?
And then...
Chicago on the 23rd?
No, this is wrong. We're going to be in... Atlanta, Orlando, Denver, and Chicago throughout the month of August. You can get tickets. I'm definitely putting them on my Instagram.
Yes.
So get tickets there. We'll have it on the Forever.web website, and I'm going to encourage Bowen Yang to put them on his Instagram
I will
as
put them
well.
On mine.
And also, we're also going to be back at the Bell House in Brooklyn on September 21st.
Ooh.
Very excited about all these things.
It will be so fun.
Now. I do have an I Don't Think So.
I have one too, but I'll have you go first, as Please. Is traditional. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey's time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, baby talk and baby humor.
Mm.
I just don't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, when someone, I'm just like, you lost me. Because I feel like you what you're cutting off here is the many years that you've progressed from babyhood to adulthood. And I want to know about the culture and the humor that's influenced you in that space of span of time. Were you the funniest ever that you ever have been when you were a baby? I don't think so, honey. So why are you talking like a baby now?
Mm-hmm.
It actually runs right through me, the baby voice. I'm going to move
seconds.
On now to baby humor. Videos of babies don't make me laugh. I'm sorry, you can stop sending them to me. I enjoy a baby.
Thank you.
But I don't need to opt into baby humor.
Yes.
I'm an adult. I prefer adult humor, like adult comedians, Tina Fey. Things like that. So when you speak to me in a baby voice, know that I am wincing. And it's
Five
just like
seconds.
Some of my closest friends love to do a baby voice, and I don't love baby voice. I don't think so, honey. Baby voice.
And that's 1 minute. I agree with you. I think there's one person that you're referring to in particular.
How okay, dare you do
There
this?
Must be.
Can I say their name?
Go ahead.
Sudie Green.
Sudie Green loves baby voice
she
and baby,
baby
humor.
Voice.
She loves to send me videos of babies and I don't love baby voice and baby humor.
I gotta say, I think I'm with you on
Bucks.
This.
I don't. This is, who knew this was gonna be call out culture?
Even sometimes. Ooh, can I say
this is a take?
This is a take.
You're cruel, Bo. What?
I'm gonna out myself as a heartless motherfucker.
What?
Sometimes when I get a video of my niece, I'm like, okay.
I love
don't
it.
Care about videos of anyone's babies.
Because
I'm so sorry.
I love my niece so goddamn much. I don't.
As a person, not a comedian.
I don't always want to see her like do shit. You know what I'm saying?
You're not looking for her latest shit.
I'm
sorry, but
there you go.
Ellie has not formed her comedic voice.
No, she will.
And it's actually a detriment to her to send you videos.
Because now this is part of her fucking is that
legacy.
Oh, remember that one time I like, you know, played the piano in a weird way? Like, yeah, but that like now that's canon and now that's like it's part of your legacy and we're gonna have to reckon with that at some point.
It's like especially in culture now when everything gets on the internet, like these babies might get canceled for videos of them as babies later on when they were adults trying to make a comedic career happen because they were garbage when they were babies because baby humor isn't funny.
I actually
stop talking to me in a baby voice.
No, I actually love seeing Ellie all the time.
That sucks that you do that because you just said otherwise.
Yeah,
you just said otherwise, and now here you are.
But, double speak.
And it's a white
you,
bitch
Scarlett
narrative.
Scarlett Johansson that was taken out of context. No, you said it. We were fucking here.
No, I said in a world where. Anyway, okay, that's a beautiful. I don't think somebody that's brave. Thank you.
I can't do it with baby stuff.
Okay, all right.
So this is gonna be Bowen Yang's. I don't think so, honey. And in fact, his time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Standing at an angle in an elevator. Bitch, face the front, motherfucker. Last night, I go home with my parents. We're up the elevator. These drunk assholes come in to go to the rooftop. It's 11:30 p.m. They go, can you hit the roof, please? They needed my fob to scan them up to the roof. I go, I was a bitch, and I go, I think the roof closes at 10. And he goes, yeah, but our party's up there still, so we have to clean up. And I go, okay, scan the fob. And then what they do is they stand at an angle to face me.
30 seconds.
As a bullying tactic, I think. Yeah, I was with my parents. My parents, like, they sandwiched my mom. It was so weird. It was just this weird, crazy, like, formation. And I was like, this is bad. And this actually makes all of us uncomfortable and out of our elements. You are distorting reality for
15
me.
15 seconds.
And how dare you? And I will put you on blast on my podcast listened to by thousands. and sir, I will meet you on
Five
that
seconds.
Field. And love will win.
Love will win. And that
wow.
is
1 minute. Yeah. I'm quoting Marianne and most of my don't think so, honey.
Really yeah, honestly, funny. That sounds like a bullying tactic. Elevator stances are very important. You have to remember you're not the only person
front.
In there. You face front.
It's been that way since 1950,
yeah.
bitch. Since elevators were invented.
We got it. We figured it out already. There's no, like, remix.
There's no remix. Unless it's a two-sided door elevator situation. But it wasn't the case.
Not the case. What if I was like, I don't think so, honey, my traumatic childhood. And they yeah, talked right. about all the things I went yeah. through.
Can I just riff for one? Can I say one thing yes. about elevator culture?
Yes.
Something I've realized about myself. I can't be in an elevator with a romantic or sexual partner without it becoming a full thing.
Oh, you want
to
like,
I have to hook up in the elevator.
What?
Even if yeah. you're, even if it's if it's if, there's, yeah. if it's just the two
Wait.
Of you.
If it's just the two
oh,
of you.
I thought
no,
when
not
other
with
people,
anyone else. I'm just saying
you're like,
you're like,
I'm sorry, my grandma was there, my mom was there, everybody was looking at us and they were asking us for money. And if,
yeah, right. And I was hooking up. But if we're in an
oh,
elevator
sure.
together, if we're in an elevator together and you are my partner.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And you're not trying to hook up with me when the doors close? It's rude.
It's crazy.
And we are in a fight now.
And when the door opens,
now.
Get off me. Get off.
Katrina.
So, Katrina. So now it's time for Alice's
this
I don't think so,
really
honey.
Hard. I have been so nervous about this.
You can
it's
do
a segment.
I reject that.
This is such a seggy.
You can just do your traumatic childhood. If you
it's fine. I know. Like, it's, ugh. Okay.
It's happening now.
Have I started?
Oh, no. This is Alice Wetterland's I Don't Think So, Honey. Our time okay. starts now.
Okay. I Don't Think So, Honey, Your Hero.
Oh,
whatever
wow.
it is.
Wow, wow,
I don't
wow.
care what it is. This isn't the way we do things anymore. We get fine if you appreciate the art and you have to separate it from the artist
yes.
or whatever. But like, stop every time somebody does a thing being like, well, I like him though. So, and then defending.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody is a fucking human who is fucked up.
Yes.
Everyone is bad. And if they are famous, they're definitely bad.
Uh-huh.
If someone's famous,
there.
They're evil. End of story. This includes me.
30
so
seconds.
Don't fucking go. And like, it's not like you're like, oh my God, you get something from, you're like, oh, this Snickers. And then you're like, yeah, Mars is my shit. I love Mars. Everything Mars does. If you say anything about Mars, it sucks. No, we just only fucking like a Snickers bar. That's fine.
15 seconds.
So like, just get your heroes and yeah. knock them out the fucking pedestal because mm-hmm. it's fucking 2019 punk rock, bitch.
And that's 1 minute,
you know
bitch.
What? I've actually rarely met a hero and been satisfied.
It's horrible.
It's
even
horrible.
People, even
it's
people
horrible.
I slightly look up
it's
to
horrible.
Always
it's horrible.
Disappoint me.
It's a horror story.
I know. Ooh.
I met Paul F. Tompkins, who was my comedy hero. Now, not my hero anymore because he's my fucking
friend. Yeah, it sucks. Especially he's too nice.
He's a good person, but
he's
then
really
it's like,
the nicest person.
The only
it's
way
like
to go,
your friends are your heroes. In
exactly,
a way, you know, like where you're like, no, that's a good dude.
Actually, meeting your there's yeah. only one way to go when you meet your hero, which is down, which is
yeah.
either they disappoint you so much
yeah.
or they become your peer, and then you're like, well, fuck, now this sucks. Who am I going to look up? I mean, I don't look up to anybody anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't look up to anyone.
Yeah, I think maybe because of Paul, it's like the one exception
sure,
where
sure.
he really was. Yeah.
And Paul is
my
a lovely, is like
he's a lovely person,
man,
but like then there's Paul, and then that leaves everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Damn,
mm-hmm.
you're right.
Paul is great, and that's a shout out to Paul F. Tompkins. And this episode. The white bitch narrative.
The white bitch narrative.
Has been so fun, and we have covered all the ground,
oh my
and
God.
What a fucking joy
Ugh.
That we got you in here with your gorgeous Scarlett Johansson ass.
Thank you. Yeah. It is perky today.
It is perky.
I woke up and I was like, what are you going to be today?
Yeah.
You know, and she
and
was
she
like,
said, I'm going to be actually exactly
she was
what
like,
you
I'm
need
gonna
me to be.
I'm going
to
be perk the fuck up. I'm caffeinated.
Yeah, I mean, I had a cold brew and I'm a killing machine.
I had a cold brew as well.
August 23rd, the special, as they say, drops.
Mm-hmm. Drops, as they say. Mm-hmm. We love Alice so much. Please find her.
Follow her.
Don't make her a hero.
Because you'll be That's disappointed. Great.
We end every episode with a song.
Every episode gets ended with a song.
All the hot girls go pop, pop, pop. If you did it, blah, 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 blah. And if you see a mad bitch, go ha, ha, ha.
Wow, okay, so we didn't do it good.
If you see a mad bitch?
If you see a mad hoe, tell her ha, ha, ha.
Is she mad?
I don't know. I think the other hoe's mad.
Is it like a Mad Hatter situation where she's like actually mentally ill?
To be continued.
To be continued. Bye.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.